This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and today we are lucky to have Pia Gladys Pere with us again. Now, Pia has a fashion label called Pia Gladys Pere, and she is really taking on the world from Makati here in Manila. Pia has very humble origins. If you haven't listened to episode 7, which is where we discuss Pia's origins, then I really suggest that you do it. It's a great episode. Today we are discussing manufacturing. So Pia is breaking into the US and she needs massive amounts of stock. I think Pia is having to order sort of 200,000, 300,000, 400,000, 500,000 pieces of clothing to fill the orders within the US. And Pia is a self-funded startup. She's celebrating her 10th year anniversary, but really that is, you know, massive quantities of manufacturing to take on. Pia is doing all of that in the Philippines, and we look at the manufacturing capabilities in the Philippines and briefly touch on the history of those. So enjoy this episode. If you want any of the show notes, go to our website, outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast/episode27 for this episode. Enjoy. Welcome back, Pia.
Hello.
And I just want to talk to you about manufacturing and your knowledge of that. So as I've touched on before, like this is an outsourcing podcast, and most people are looking to find cheaper resource in the Philippines. I believe that manufacturing used to be massive a long time ago, and then China happened. And partly that might have been because of stricter labor laws here. So the US went to China where they basically
happening in front of me, crumbled in front of my face.
So, is that right?
Yes, because that's when it started. Well, I was younger when, I think my late teens is when that started to happen. Because when I was a child, everything was made here.
Right.
And then suddenly, because of the stricter label rules.
Was it made here for overseas or just all the domestic stuff
overseas,
was made
like
here?
All the massive brands have shoes, bags, clothing, anything, homeware. Homeware is still big, like furniture is still big here.
Yeah, they're sort of woven stuff as well.
But sadly, fashion, if you go to the technological park in Cavite, so many of them closed down because China has. But then if you see, because I've worked as a buyer for brands here, and then you see the working conditions in China, it's just
worse, a lot worse.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I still get goosebumps when I remember it. This is why I have this advocacy for my brand that everything must be made here.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, materials can come from outside, but everything's made here because at least I have more control of the working conditions of people, and I can visit a plant or something, or I have my own factory for my main brand. So it's just that at least you know that you're doing the right thing. Because
and it's a little known, like everyone knows about outsourcing in the Philippines, and typically that means voice and customer service and IT and all that stuff. And manufacturing was big, and people don't really know about manufacturing in the Philippines, but it's coming back a bit now, yeah?
It is coming back a bit simply because, well, there's so much effort in the fashion industry about, sustainable clothing and then also sustainable lifestyle. So because of, the good thing about the internet is that there's so many documentaries that came up and just showed the working conditions of the people. So some consumers question the credibility of labels because if you're giving us something that's from this, factory with this kind of working conditions, then there's a huge risk that people will not support you as much or buy from them as much. So it still happens. And retailers, especially the big ones, are so cheeky.
Yeah,
they will have a boat in the middle of somewhere, international waters, to avoid taxes.
And do you find then that the smaller designers almost get loaded with the obligation of doing right and doing well and having to cover all those, the heavier costs of that? And then meanwhile, the bigger manufacturers, they have the benefit of mass production, lower costs, but then also they're kind of not doing well by the manufacturing
world. I think with us designers, we just don't sell the dress. We sell a lifestyle. We sell the experience that goes with a dress. And some people understand this concept that, you know, that it's just not a T-shirt. There's a story to it, or there's a feeling that comes with it. That's the reason why people buy designer labels. And what I like about Australia is they're very supportive about their local designers. There's it's Australian made, it's an Australian designer. So, and I'm hoping that one day we'll be like that here.
And so you're amidst a big ramp up at the moment. I'm not sure if you can speak about that at all, but there's
yes, I'm in a big one.
You've got a big gig coming your way. And you're having to ramp up production a huge amount, yeah? Can you give us a little bit of insight into how that works? And are there facilities here that can quickly ramp up? Is it a difficult task? And how are you coping with your...
You know, I thought it would be difficult, but the Philippines is like a treasure chest. There's so many people who are I just asked a friend. I know that my friend, who's also a designer, works for this massive production house. And I didn't realize how massive it was, but this guy has 9 factories, and each factory is 5,000 square meters. So and then this guy and his friend who makes shoes, and then this guy. And then, so they're all one circle. So I was introduced by one person, and suddenly my whole production is looked after. That's what I've been busy with. But it wasn't as hard as I thought it would be, and the quality is good. And for people who, especially like me, or just in that transition stage from limited ready to wear to having a mainstream ready to wear brand, being able to control production is very important, because one mistake in production and delivery or missing something could ruin the deal that I just recently had. So.
It's huge. Mm-hmm. Because just to put some context on it, you're having to produce about 50,000 pieces kind of
thing.
For
every design, yeah.
Wow. So that's massive, yeah, for a small business. And there's obviously a significant cost component to that.
It's
I assume if you press the green button and then they all turn out a little bit wrong with a button on the wrong side.
You have to be very careful. That's why you have to have the right team. That's why I'm okay, we're doing this. I'm hiring the right people. And business people should not be so adamant about spending money when needed. Because to spend money, it's a classic saying, but to earn money, you have to spend money, right?
Yeah.
So, because if I don't, then I'll end up doing everything that I'll just...
Yeah.
There will be a mistake that I'll overlook because I refuse to hire 2 more people or 3 people.
Yeah.
And that will cost me so much more. Plus, my name and reputation will be gone out the window.
And that's the nature of outsourcing, isn't it? You've then outsourced the manufacturing to experts that are experts in manufacturing that will be able to ensure high quality.
Yeah, because they're these are people who service brands overseas and here as well. Mm. So they're they're experts in that. I hired a designer and then they talk to them and then we just do the timelines, which of course it's not as simple as that. But at least I know that these people know what they're doing. The ones that are making the shoes, I was so surprised by how skilled they are and how good the quality is. So,
And then I suppose just in summary and wrap up, how how would you compare, or what are your thoughts on the manufacturing processes and skills of the Philippines as opposed to China and the more commonly assumed manufacturing places? And so I suppose quality and competency, but also then price.
Well, quality in the Philippines is much, much better, I would say. And if you look into the bigger brands overseas, if you go into their workshops, their head pattern makers are Filipinos.
Ah, yes. Really? Filipinos are very creative.
Yes,
huh?
They're very good with their hands.
You see them in all of the creativity fields.
Like. Very much so. And very, like what I said, very, very resourceful. Mm. So the cost always they think is higher. But if you have the volume, then you could make it lower. Right. And at the end of the day, if you have, you know, low cost, good product quality, and then, well, people who actually speak very good English, then it's a plus. Because in China, like, or if you go to other countries, their English is not as good. True. And there's a big, big chance that before you launch your product, they launched it already. I've seen it happen so many times. Yes. So my friend came home one day and she had this beautiful leather printed. It was a leftover by Dolce & Gabbana. She was using it. So at least that I know will not happen here.
Yeah. Because you've had your dresses turn up on Amazon, have you? Like,
well, in eBay, people would sell my dresses and they use photos from my website. Wow. And it's a Chinese company. Of course, I try to buy it. So far from the real thing. So you can't buy skill. You know, you can't buy quality. Well, you can buy quality because the more you pay, then, but yeah. And I think at the end of the day, it's you also answer to your conscience. Like, yes, my product is so cheap, but what's the story behind that? In, I think it was in Bangladesh or something, like 700. People died.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure to
improve at least
standards.
We don't have that here.
Why are the standards better here? Is it because there are stricter labor laws have better safety requirements in factories and things like
that? Yes, people here are more, well, we have better unions. And then I think people here are more aware of their rights.
Right.
And well, the good thing with Department of Labor here, especially for the blue-collar jobs, they're quite protective of them.
Right.
So a lot of companies, a very good amount of companies are very, very good in following the rules. Because
They've got it. Good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pierre.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that chat with Pierre. If you haven't heard the original podcast with Pia, which is episode 7, please do, because she has an inspiring story. And I hope that you gain some value there in terms of exploring the manufacturing potential of the Philippines. Philippines is widely, widely known as a service outsourcing provider, but really there's a huge amount of skill and depth in terms of manufacturing here, and huge advantages in terms of cultural alignment and everyone speaking English. So it really is an easy place to get business done. If you want any of the show notes for this episode, do go to our website. The address is outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast/episode 27.